I don't want my mind to be full of other people's images.
Hello, I'm Jessica Kadso-Collins, and this is the Inside the Jewel Vault podcast. Each episode, I ask my guests to choose the 6 gems or jewels they would put into their fantasy jewel vault. I hope you enjoy listening. Welcome inside the Jewel Vault, and today I'm delighted to be talking to Romilly Saumarez-Smith. Romilly is a gifted and expressive artist whose imaginative creations weave fantasy, mystery and meaning in materials ranging from precious gems and metals to fossils, cutlery handles and even metal-detected finds. Romilly's career has been split in two. At first, she found acclaim as a bookbinder, and her work is in leading collections, including the V&A. But 25 years ago, she turned her attention to jewellery. Unhappily, she developed multiple sclerosis, which progressed to her hands, and her creative journey seemed ended. But eventually, she was introduced by her friend, the distinguished weaver Mary Restio, to a young jeweller, Lucy Gledhill, who could translate the images Romilly saw in her mind's eye. And this way of working with assistance instead of her own hands has successfully brought her ideas to life ever since. And Romilly's assistants are talented jewellers in their own right, such as Anna Wales, Lucy Gledhill and Laura Enyu. And she currently works with two, Rachel Jones and Carola Saltier, who is here with Romilly and me today. And we're gazing at a table covered in your work here in your home, Romilly. And Carola has been showing me some of the pieces you're working on just now. So may I ask, how do you share out the work?
What they do is 2 days 1 week and 3 days the next, and it alternates. Laura did all the tree handle work because I know her imagination is sort of the most similar to mine, I suppose. Rachel can do anything really with jewellery. The work by Carola is called Newfoundland because it's something that's been buried underground. So it's newfound land, so it's been found, it's found itself in a new place.
And it was inspired originally by you walking over this amazing landscape.
I like playing with words. I don't like things to be shiny.
Mm.
And I found it quite difficult at the beginning to persuade the jewellers that you don't always have to pickle things.
Yes, I
they
remember.
They like that.
Yeah. The first day I was here, I pickled all the weeds. And then I brought it in to Romilly to see, to show her what I've done, and it was all white and, and not black. And I was like, oops.
I suppose I thought that some of the effects, when you don't pickle, are really, really nice.
And to you, Romilly, may I ask, what does jewellery mean for you?
Well, I mean, I always loved clothes, but jewellery was not a big thing. My mother used to buy me earrings, and so I remember she had a few funny pairs of earrings that I used to play with. And she had some nice pearls. Yeah.
May I ask, where did you grow up and where was home for you?
Born in London. My father was a surgeon but came from a very artistic family.
Mm-hmm.
His mother was a children's book illustrator, and his father was what would now be called a interior decorator, and he was also a furniture designer. Actually, my mother was a very good painter, so I did come from quite an artistic
background. Yes, a talented gene pool,
yes.
An artistic. And as a child, were you very expressive and creative?
Well, I used to draw a lot, but I used to do pages and pages of shoes. But I don't think I was particularly... Well, I wasn't particularly encouraged down that route. You know, I think my parents thought that I should, you know, get married and I can, like the world was in those days.
Did you pursue any further education after school?
Well, I was a very bad schoolgirl. I went to a lot of schools.
Oh, really?
None of which I liked, and they didn't like me. And when I left school, I worked in a bookshop called Hatchard's.
Yes, I know it well.
In the art department. And I always loved books. You know, I was a great reader, and I suppose what I wanted to be was a writer or a poet more than a maker. But anyway, Charles, who I'm now married to, I met when I was very young. He encouraged me to go to do paper conservation.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the course at Camberwell. And as part of the foundation, yeah, we did bookbinding. That was where the bookbinding came in. After Camberwell, I had to get a job as a sort of journeyman. I was the first woman member of the men's branch of SOGAT. And it was a scary experience, actually, being there. But on the other hand, you know, at the beginning of the week, you were presented with 50 books on your bench, and you got them done, and, you know, it was quite a good lesson in not being too precious about things.
I think.
It was a year, and that was enough, really. And then I started, I think, working in a slightly different way to my contemporaries.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of fine binding had turned into a way of sort of interpreting the text. So I think the books I made were particular structures. But I used to play around a lot with dyeing the leather and then building up layers and layers of different...
Fascinating.
..colour, which, I mean, it's sort of... It's not that far away from what I would do with the patination now.
Yes, I can see the similes.
So I started using metal on the books. Because if you think of medieval bindings, they often had bosses. Anyway, I lived at that time in Newell Street in Limehouse, and opposite lived a wonderful friend of mine, Cynthia Grant, and she is an incredibly talented maker of many things. And at the time, she was going to Morley College to learn how to make jewellery. And she said, oh, you know, why don't you come and make jewellery? And I remember that afternoon I made my first pair of earrings out of some copper wire. And that was sort of how it started. And I loved it. I loved thinking about it. And I think being released from the flatness of a book,
mm-hmm.
to be able to think in the round.
Mm.
So I decided to take a year's sabbatical, and I would see how I got on.
Really?
And then I could go back to bookbinding if I wanted to. And I never went back.
Just like that?
But I sort of never... I never really thought I would be successful. I did 25 years as a bookbinder, and it's pretty well 25 years.
Really?
Although I had a long break in the middle, 5-year break.
With the hiatus?
Yes, so it's been a split life, really.
Yes, interesting. Well, I think it's about time we go into your vault. Tell me, what have you selected for us? There's six fantastic pieces in here, all quite different.
Well, the first one is a medieval ring, and I suppose I like it because I have a sort of romantic thing about how people used to use their diamond ring to scratch things onto glass. It's a natural crystal, diamond crystal point set in gold. It just, I suppose also I want to find one myself, but it goes back, I suppose, to my love of medieval things.
I love the way that the octahedron is set so yes. high above the finger. It's almost sculptural.
Yes.
And then there's this carving around the shoulders, either side. I mean, it looks to date about 1400s, doesn't it?
It does, it does.
So the second piece we have in here.
Now, the second piece, I suddenly realised that, of course, you know, I do a lot of that with pearls. It's a strange ram.
Mm.
It's a religious thing, I think, because it's got a... You see at the bottom, it's got a cross. As, I mean, I'm not saying I copied the ram, but I liked it because he's doing the same thing as I've done
mm-hmm.
with my pearls. Again, I can relate that back to the bookbinding because when I was making these vellum books out of the cloth, if you imagine looking inside the cover, the corners I then stitched together. And one day when I was working in the Wellcome Library, I opened a vellum book and that was exactly the same.
Oh, gosh.
So I love the feeling that somebody in the past, that must be, do you think, late 16th century, maybe 17th century, early 17th century.
Mm.
You know, someone then has made the same technical decision of how to attach the pearls.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As I have.
In your brooch, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So again, it's very intriguing from your perspective,
yeah.
just to try and understand how it's been.
Yes. So it's been... finding that connection
mm.
with a craftsperson that many hundreds of years ago,
yeah.
like I did with the book, I find that very moving, actually.
So this third piece is...
Now, that's from the Cheapside
yes.
board.
But what I love about it is the very bold colour combination,
yes.
the green and the purple. Well, it's a pale purple, like a lilac colour, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it is.
And it's very zingy and not
yeah.
at all quiet and restrained.
Not at all. Well,
so I'd love to know what this fourth item in your vault is. It's there's a photograph and
yes.
an orange gem that looks like it's in a setting of some sort.
Now, she's a German jeweller called Bettina Speckner. And to be honest, I almost can't bear to look at her work because I like it so much. And I'm quite jealous of it.
Really? That's very honest.
And I don't know anything much about her. But I just think she's brilliant. And she uses old photographs, and I think she sometimes puts new photographs onto enamel and then, you know, adds a big gem to it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, funnily enough, I would say it's sort of not terribly wearable, but I just think it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say, I just don't really want to look at it because I don't like allowed to put it. Well, I am envious, but obviously it's not like my work, but I don't want it to infect my work.
I see. So it's got to go into quarantine in your vault.
Yeah.
It's interesting, having talked to you a little bit before, and you said that people were copying you, which you don't mind, because
I don't mind because I can always go on.
Yeah, because to you the horizon's limitless, whereas people are only just catching up to where you are. You're expanding.
Like, well, you... I used to find that with bookbinding, that people, you know, I could always see where their influences came. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really... I don't mind, I just... So I find... I mean, I know if I could use a mobile phone, I would be just as addicted to Instagram as everyone else is. But I think it's... I'm very glad I can't, because I don't want to be... my mind to be full of other people's images. And I think it is quite dispiriting sometimes that... And... it's a difficult thing, isn't it? But image after image after image, and people looking for sort of less than a second. But the Bettina Speckner thing is slightly different to that. I just don't want to look too much. Well, it won't give me ideas, but maybe I feel I ought to be able... I would like to be more like that, but I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, she's a genius, and anyway, you know, if I was to choose to go in another direction, I would love it to be something like that, but of course it never would be, because I would never copy anybody.
Mm.
As soon as I think of somebody, you know, that I want to do something that someone else has done, I would always steer away from
that. Of course, yeah.
But
what is it you like about this piece? It's a photograph of some unknown young woman with her cheeks rouged, it's black and white.
Funnily enough, again, I've only just thought of it, but there are two things in the house. If you look behind you at the other end of the mantelpiece, and if you go next door, I don't know if you notice, there's a picture of a photograph of a boy with rouged cheeks. And of course, I hadn't realised that until now, sitting here.
So, I've never seen anything quite like this myself, and certainly nobody else has chosen. No, that your Bettina Speckner, and it's always wonderful to know of a new, a new name. So, item number 5 is by Stanley... How do I say his name? Lexin.
I have no idea.
Stanley Lexin. And it's a pin or brooch of some sort.
I've looked at other pieces of his work, and they're all... I don't like any of them. But I love this piece. I also, you know, realised when I put them together that they're two large lumps of... That's a crystal, do you see, hanging off the front? Which is, you know, equivalent to what Bettina Speckman's doing. And it's got the pearls again. And I think it's electroplated. I think there must be bits of sort of string or cotton or... Do you think that could be it, electroplated?
Is that what they are?
Well, so I don't know. What do you think?
I was hoping you would tell me.
Everything else he does that I've seen, I really dislike.
Mm-hmm.
But I like this piece. When I saw it, I thought, God, I wish I'd made that myself.
Really?
Yeah. I just think it's fantastic.
Yeah, it is the...
He's sort of, you know, he's working in the 60s, and... I mean, I love a lot of that, the 60s work. If I could have found one of the Andrew Greimer pictures that I like, I couldn't find any of the ones that I really like, but I love his work.
This is like a semi-destroyed Andrew Greimer piece,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, it is, it is. But I just think that's... I mean, again, it would be horrible to wear, I expect it's probably about life size.
Enormous, then.
I think so.
And then finally, the sixth piece is one of your own, isn't it?
Okay, well, this is the piece I'm most proud of.
And it's here
and
before
us. And it's called Paper Knife. And it was part of the Tree Handle collection. And I spent, like I do to find all sorts of things, spent many hours on eBay finding different cutlery handles. And this is an amazing pickle handle. You know, they used to use sort of pickle forks and pickle knives and pickle spoons to get their gherkins out of Victorian times. And I just think it's an amazing, it looks like a sort of design by Pugin.
Yes.
So I wanted to do something very special with it. And we went to the new Islamic gallery at the British Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an open album made by a 19th century Persian woman. And there was cut out of pink tissue paper, there was this shape of a cypress tree. And we took a picture of the cypress tree, and I had Laura pierce out the shape.
In silver.
In silver. So it has a strange relationship. I mean, it's probably about the same time in the 19th century, but one thing comes from Persia and one is obviously very English, and they're now joined together.
Yes.
And I like the surreal nature, because I've named it Paper Knife, which obviously you could never use as paper knife, but it's called Paper Knife because the original was made from pink paper.
Right, I see. And you're playing with words.
Yes, again.
Well, it's very beautiful. I love the idea of the fact that you've literally forged two totally different ways of looking at the world.
You know? Yes.
Well, out of your vault of six beautiful things that you have here, you've got your natural diamond crystal set into a early medieval ring. Then you've got this historical ram with the pearls set just like you would, and the Cheapside hoard earring or pendant tassel made of emeralds and amethysts. You've got your Bettina Speckner brooch and your extraordinary Stanley Lexin pin and your very own paper knife. So out of these six fantastic pieces in your vault, if you had to only keep one safe, which would it be?
I think it's very hard. I wouldn't keep the ring, I wouldn't keep the ram, and I wouldn't keep my own. So it would be between the three. And curiously, I think I might keep the Stanley, because it's so bizarre and wonderful.
So that's the piece you would say?
Yeah, that's going into the vault, I think.
Yeah, wonderful. What an extraordinary choice, though, but one that would keep you intrigued.
It would, and I could find out how it was made.
Yes, you could study it. Well, Romilly, it's been a fantastic vault. Thank you so much for all of the stories and techniques that you shared.
Oh, thank you. I enjoyed it.
I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as we did recording it. You can find images of all the wonderful pieces we've been talking about, along with lots more information at our website. Just go to insidethejewelvault.com/podcast. And I want to hear from you. Tell me, what special pieces would you put into your fantasy jewel vault and why? Every so often, I'll be collecting your stories into a podcast of their own, so please get in touch. And of course, rate, review, and subscribe so we can keep these conversations as meaningful and joyous as we can. Thank you.